has caught the mantle that he'd been pursuing. Hallelujah. So we take up our scripture there in that place, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. Another scripture that I just want to bring to your attention in passing is Judges chapter 15 and verse 15. And it mentions Samson. And it talks about how the Philistines attacked him. And the Bible says that he found a new jawbone of an ass. And he put forth his hand and he took it and slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Now Elijah and Elisha and Samson were different kinds of people. I want you to understand that Elisha had a very different character than Samson had, but they did have something in common. And they had two things for certain in common. Number one, they were both used by God mightily. Now, Samson certainly didn't have it all together. If you study the Bible and you read about Samson's life, he was kind of a mess sometimes, but he was used by God. Well, that gives us some hope, don't it? Because we've all blown it. Amen. Peter blew it. But God had a plan and God was able to use Peter. God used Samson. They were both used by God mightily. They both had something that they needed within reach, but they had to pick it up. Everybody say, pick it up.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't matter how much glory, it doesn't matter how much power, it doesn't matter how much peace or joy, how much prosperity surrounds you or is within your reach, it won't do you any good unless you pick it up. That jawbone became a weapon of mass destruction in Samson's hands against the enemies, but he had to pick it up. A young prophet, the Bible teaches us, lost a borrowed axe head. It flew off of the handle and flew into the water. And Elisha came and he threw a stick into the water where the axe head had fallen. And the Bible says, and I know it sounds crazy, but the Bible says that the iron axe head did swim. Oh, hallelujah. That axe head down at the bottom of that water hole began to rise up off of the ground and not just float, it swam. Hallelujah. And it swam up to the top and it came within reach of the young prophet's hand, but he still had to pick it up. He still had to put out his hand and pick it up. Young David knocked the giant Goliath down to the ground with a slingshot, but he first had to pick it up. Then he cut off the giant's head with his own sword, but he first had to pick it up. What does it mean to pick it up? It means to value something enough to put forth the effort and the energy to lift something from the place where it is. Oh, hallelujah. It means to value something enough to put forth any effort necessary to make the object of your attention or your affection your own. Pick it up. Somebody say, pick it up. Now, as I said earlier in this service, I didn't come to this pulpit today to whine, whimper, complain about how bad the economy is. I didn't come to criticize the government or pass judgment on our administration. And there's a lot of bad stuff happening in the world. But today, I choose not to focus on the bad. I choose to focus on the good. And somebody would say, man of God, you can't just bury your head in the sand like an ostrich. But I'm not burying my head in the sand like an ostrich. I'm burying my head in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm lifting up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. And I came into this house tonight with a word, and I came to prophesy, and I came to tell you that the devil is not in charge. I don't care what it looks like. He's not going to win. I don't care what it feels like, sounds like. God is still still in charge. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And I came to cast out the spirit of fear and dread and break the spirit of hopelessness and despair. We are not going under, my friend. Church, we are not going under. This is our finest hour. Oh, hallelujah. Doesn't matter what happens to gas prices. Doesn't matter what happens to health care or social security or retirement plans or anything else. God is still God. He's still God. The church is just like the ark in the Old Testament. The floodwaters, they rose till they covered the highest mountains. But the ark just rode on top of the waters. In other words, in the worst of times, the ark was lifted to its highest place. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. That's what is happening right now. It may be the worst of times, but it's the best of times for the church. This is our greatest opportunity to witness. This is our time to shine. Oh, this is the time when the glory of the Lord will be seen upon us. Hallelujah. We were chosen by God. Listen, we were chosen by God to live right now. You're not here by accident. You didn't come into this world at this season in life by accident. God chose you to live in this present season. And if God in all of His wisdom saw fit to allow us to live in this season, it is because He believes in us. Oh, hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, God believes in you. God believes in you. Listen, God put Ezekiel in the midst of a valley full of dry bones because God knew that Ezekiel possessed the power to transform that situation. One lone prophet with the word of the Lord in his mouth transformed a valley of dry bones into a mighty army. Oh, hallelujah. Well, what does that mean to me? Well, you may be the only Christian in your family. You may be the only Christian on your job or in your class or your whole school. You may be the only Christian on your block or in your neighborhood. But what you need to do is quit pouting about it and start prophesying. Oh, hallelujah. If you're the only believer there, it's because God's got confidence in you. God believes in you. There's something inside of you that is more powerful than what's on the outside. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. God believes in you. That's one of the most powerful things that ever struck my heart. And my thought was, God believes in me. God believes in me. You know, sometimes I have a hard time believing in me. But God believes in me. And God believes in you. God has resources that He's placed in you. You need to start prophesying. For too long, God's people have shuffled around with their heads down, back stooped over, stepping on their bottom lip, crying about how bad it is. Woe is me. Woe is me. I've never seen it so bad. It's so dark. But I didn't say things weren't bad. I know things are bad. I didn't say I like what's happening in our world and our government, or that I'm not aware of the tragedies that are shaking our world. What I'm saying is, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. What I'm saying is, I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep what I've committed unto Him against that day. What I'm saying is, if God be for you and God be for me, who can be against me? Oh, hallelujah. I know the world is shaking. Earthquakes and tsunamis and tornadoes and financial storms are shaking the national economy. There's racial unrest. Persecution is getting stronger and stronger. We're tottering on the edge of nuclear war. But we are in the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm just passing through. One of my dad's favorite songs, used to sing it all the time, said, oh Lord, this world, he said, this world is not my home. This world is not my home. And Lord, what will I do? Heaven beckons me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. This is what it says. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I don't feel at home in this world. I don't want to get entrusted to this world. I don't like the oxygen of this world. While I'm here, I'm just going to suck on heaven's oxygen. I'm going to breathe
need the oxygen of heaven. Hallelujah. Because when I get there, I want to be acclimated to the atmosphere. Oh, hallelujah. That's why worship is so important. When we worship, we are embracing heaven's atmosphere. When we worship, we are taking in the oxygen of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so far off my message. I better get back. Better get back to my notes. Yeah. God is our refuge. He's our strength, a very present help in trouble. Even while all these bad things are happening, David says, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the depths of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, he said, even when these things are happening, bad things are happening, he said, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Right in the middle of it all, there's still a river flowing. That river is the river that we talked about this morning. It's the river of the Holy Ghost. Right in the midst of it, that river is still flowing, and that river brings peace, and it brings joy, and it brings comfort, and it brings strength. Oh, hallelujah. There is a river that makes glad the city of our God. This is our time to shine. As Isaiah 60:1 said, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Gross darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen on thee. In other words, God said, I know it's going to get real dark in this world. It's going to get real dark in this world. I know that. But here's what God said right in the middle of the darkness. He said, I'm going to put my spotlight on you.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. God is going to put the spotlight right on you. Right in the middle of the dark. And he said, when I do, they're going to see my glory on you. And then the Gentiles and the sinners are going to come to your light. And kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Listen, let me preach just a minute. This is no time for us to tone it down. This is no time to damper our praise. This is no time to worry about being politically correct or socially acceptable. This is no time to hide in a cave or backpedal on our faith. This is the time to arise and shine. This is the time to stand up and stand out. This is the time to speak the word of God with boldness and with the power and authority of God. This is the time that we declare ourselves. This is the time we make a decision. Who is on the Lord's side? I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody shout, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. Moses demanded in the book of Exodus, who is on the Lord's side? Declare yourself. Make your choice clear. Elijah demanded the same thing on Mount Carmel. Choose one side or the other. Either serve God or serve Baal, but quit lipping back and forth between the two. Jesus also demanded the same thing. He said, he that is not for me is against me. And if you're not gathering with me, you are scattering abroad. Let me say it another way. You're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. There's no in between. We're either on God's side or we're on the devil's side. People don't like to hear that. They kind of like to have the attitude like, no, I'm just a free agent. I'm a free agent. I just float through the world and I'm in between. I'm not neither or. No. No, you're either for God or you're against Him. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. You either have His Spirit in you or you have the spirit of the evil one in you. That's what the Bible teaches us. You have to put a difference. You're either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. Like Esther, you and I have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Like Esther, it's our time. Look at somebody, tell them it's our time.
Yeah,
say it's my time to shine. Yeah, you've been on the wilderness, in the backside of the desert. You've been in a covered place, even felt like you were in a cave and felt like you were at the back of the line. But God was working on you. Hallelujah. God was building character. God was building integrity in you. God was teaching you how to live by faith. God was building His Word into your life. And you've been asking God, when is it going to be my time? When do I get to step up to the plate? When do I get to do what I've been training for? Well, hear what the Lord says tonight, what the Word of the Lord says. It is your turn. Hallelujah. It's our turn now, and the spotlight of heaven is upon us. Listen, Elisha, the spotlight is on you now.
Elijah had his time. Now it's your time. 50 sons of the prophets are standing by and they're watching Elisha to see, do you really have the goods? Oh, hallelujah. Back to our text. Elijah and Elisha standing at the River Jordan. Elijah, the prophet of God, he strikes the water with his mantle, and the Bible says the waters part and the two of them go across on dry ground. Oh, hallelujah. And the 50 sons of the prophets are looking from a distance and they're watching to see. Elisha, we know that you poured water on Elijah's hands. We know that you were his gopher. We know that you went and did anything he wanted you to do. We know that you ministered to him and took care of him. But we just want to know, do you got anything? Did you get anything out of it? We want to know, do you have the power? Do you have the goods? Elisha, do you have the goods? Elisha, do you have the power? Elisha, can you divide the Jordan River? Can you raise the dead? Can you cast out devils? Can you heal the sick? Can you prophesy rain and fire from heaven? The spotlight is on you now, Elisha. The mantle has fallen at your feet, Elisha. Are you man enough? Are you woman enough to pick it up? Are you Holy Ghost filled enough? Are you faith filled enough? Are you bold enough? Are you courageous enough to pick up that mantle and walk it out and work it out? Or are you just a wannabe? What is a wannabe? That's somebody who wants the title. They want the title. They want the position. They want the recognition. They even want the power. They want the miracles. They want the signs. They want the wonders. But they won't pay the price. The mantle of Elijah was more than just a piece of cloth he wrapped around his shoulders. This mantle symbolized everything the man was. It represented his sacrifice, his commitment, his faith, his love for God, his consecration, and his power. When Elisha picked up that mantle, it meant, I'm stepping up. I'll pay the price. I'll live the life. It meant from this day forward, I am who this mantle says I am. I hear the Holy Spirit saying tonight, pick it up. Pick it up. It's fallen within reach. Now you've got to pick it up. You can look at it. You can dream about it. You can preach about it. You can shout about it. You can sing songs about it. Write books about it. But nothing will happen till you pick it up. With the jawbone of an ass, Samson slew 1,000 men. But what? He had to pick it up. When you pick up this mantle, you're saying something to God. You're saying, I'm committed. You're saying, I'm the real deal. You're saying, I'm anointed. I'm chosen by God. I'm anointed and I'm appointed. When you pick up this mantle, you're saying, I'm in the game. I'm not just a spectator on the sidelines. I choose God's side. I choose truth. I choose holiness. I choose faithfulness, and I choose obedience. Mordecai told Esther, who knoweth, but thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this. But here's the words that follow that, and these words cut like a knife. As Mordecai said to him, if you hold your peace at this time, then shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. You know what Mordecai was saying to Esther? He was saying, Esther, if you don't pick up this mantle, somebody else will. But you and your generation and your family will suffer because you refuse to pick up the mantle. God said to tell you tonight that the mantle has fallen within reach. If you don't pick it up, if you're not willing to pay the price, somebody else will. Somebody else will walk in the anointing you could have had. Somebody else will heal the sick that should have been healed under your hand. Somebody else will cast out devils and work signs and wonders. And somebody else will possess the presence and glory and the power of God that you should have had if you don't pick it up. But you'll deprive your generation of your ministry, your family, and your loved ones, and people live around you of the anointing and the power that God reserved for you. Somebody prophesied over me one day. I'm getting ready to close. I have a whole lot more message, but I feel like God wants me to bring this to close. Somebody prophesied over me one day, and I was just beginning to hear about mantles and mantles being passed down. And I
I've tried tonight to explain to you what a mantle is. A mantle was not just something that he wore around his shoulders, but that mantle represented everything that Elijah was. That mantle was what Elijah took when he struck the waters of the Jordan and they divided. That mantle was what he threw on Elisha's shoulders as he passed by him while Elisha was plowing the field. And Elisha immediately recognized the anointing. And he dropped the plow and he said, "Let me go with you. Let me go kiss my mom and dad goodbye, and I'm going to serve you and serve this anointing the rest of my life." And he did. That mantle represented everything that he was. That mantle represented his consecration. It represented his faithfulness. It represented the discipline of his life, his prayer life, the anointing, the power, his character, his integrity. Everything was symbolized by that mantle. And that mantle fell close to Elisha. It was a big decision, my friend. You don't just pick up that mantle of a man like that if you're not willing to pay the price. If you're not willing to walk where he walked. And the Bible says that Elisha went over there and he picked up that mantle. Hallelujah. 50 sons of the prophets are watching. Did you got it? Did you get anything? We know that you were side by side with him. We know that you talked with him. We know you had a relationship with him beyond anything that we all have. But did you get anything out of it? And the Bible says he picked up that mantle, Elijah's mantle. But it's not Elijah's mantle anymore. It's Elisha's mantle. And he walked back to that same waters that had closed behind them. And he took that mantle and he folded it together and he struck the waters and he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the Bible said that the waters parted. And he went across on dry ground. Hallelujah. And if you study Elisha's life, there were double the miracles of Elisha's life than Elijah's life. And the last miracle was when they threw a dead body into the tomb. And when that dead body touched the bones of Elisha, that dead body came to life. Hallelujah. There was so much power in that old man's bones that it raised the dead. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to stand with me tonight. I want to tell you something. I was praying. I told you the other day I was going to share something with you, and I was just questioning the Lord when. I felt the Lord release me to share with you tonight. And I was praying, and the Lord shared with me. He started speaking to me about Brother Smith. I never had an opportunity to meet Brother Smith, but I know him by the Spirit. I know the man of God by the Spirit. The Bible says, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We know each other by the Spirit." I know the man by the Spirit. I know the man by the Spirit that he deposited in this church and he left in you. I know that. Here's what the Lord told me. The Lord said to me, he said, "This man of God that was here before you," he said, "he carried a mantle, a powerful mantle." And he said, "That mantle has been released." He said, "This is why I have called my church. This is why I put such an impetus and I put such a design on you to pray and seek my face. Because the Lord told me that that mantle is falling." That mantle is falling. And the Lord told me that we're going to pick up that mantle. And when we pick up that mantle, we're not just walking where that mantle was before. We're walking in a new place. We're walking in a new anointing. We're walking in new dimensions. We're walking in new realms of glory that God is in store for us. Is this body believers? Here's what the Lord told me. He said, this is what the Lord told me. I'm just telling you what he told me. I have never said this before. I've never said this before to any church. And I spoke to a lot of churches, prophesied over a lot of ministries, a lot of churches. I've never said this. This is a mantle that is coming on this church. Not just me as a pastor, as an individual, but on this church. And we are coming up on it. We haven't got it yet, because it's ahead of us a little ways. Because this man paid a price. This man walked with God, and this man paid a price to carry this anointing and carry this mantle. And that mantle is beyond us a little ways. But we're going to walk toward that mantle, and we're going to pick it up. We're going to pick up that mantle because it was never God's intention that what he started, that what this man of God, Brother Smith, started here, ended. It is to continue, and it is to increase, and it is to multiply. And I want everyone in this house tonight, if you're ready to pick up that mantle, and you're ready to walk in that anointing, and you're ready to walk where God wants us to walk as a body of believers, as individuals, you're ready to see the hand of God, the glory of God. I believe that I'm scripturally correct in saying that it is the will and the mind of God that we walk into a double portion anointing. And it And I believe that just like the Lord told me, that we are moving toward that mantle. I believe that God is going to tell me when we've got a hold of it. And we're going to know it. And when we touch that mantle, something's going to be released in this house. When we touch that mantle, something is going to be released in this house. And we're going to step into a new anointing and a new dimension and a new realm of the glory of God. Double portion anointing. How many are ready for that? How many want that? Hallelujah. I want everybody in this house right now, if you're serious about that, you mean business about that, you say, I want that mantle on this church. We want to wear that mantle. I want you to come. Come and join me tonight. We want to wear that mantle. Lord, we want to qualify ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not a simple thing. This doesn't just happen like rolling out of bed. You have to qualify yourself to wear that mantle. You have to qualify yourself to carry that anointing. You have to qualify.
Father, Lord, in the name of your Father, this walk in your glory, dear God. for your praise, dear God, to worship you, dear God. Lord, you say, dear Father, Lord, in your word, dear Father, that thou, dear Father, even come after you, Lord, with the greatest anger, even I. And Lord, we want to see it, dear Lord.